Oh, wait. This is, we're going to start now our Leil Hashanah Rabbah. Give you a little bit, I promised the others that I'll give a little bit of Luach to my name. We're going to go till 11 o'clock night, short and sweet, 9 to 11. It'll be one continuous shir with four or five different halakim. Bye-bye. At 11 o'clock, anyone who continues is going to be in the base medrash with Rav Uri from 11 to 12. A little bit more of the mystical, ethereal, Kabbalistic aspects of Hoshana Rabbah. And at 12 o'clock, Rav Benji is going to, Kralach is going to take people from 12 to Vasikin to 5. That's basically in the base medrash. Everything's in the base medrash. Rav Uri will pass you along to Kralach there. He'll be in the base medrash at 12. Rav Uri will be there at 11 o'clock. My job is to keep you busy until 11. Stretch it out maybe to 10 to 11. It takes a long time to walk over to the base medrash. And just welcome you to our sukkah.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much. And to try to somehow weave together with you both an introduction to Hoshana Rabbah, getting ourselves into the mood for Hoshana Rabbah, and also to enjoy really the last 24 hours of our sukkah and other sukkah, and to accentuate maybe the last chance that we have to highlight different thematic structures of Sukkot, so that Chas v'Shalom we go through this Chag without at least extracting and expunging every single possible lesson or some kind of ideals that we could somehow extract from Sukkot. What are we doing here? What are we doing here, Leil Hashanah Rabbah? What's this imposition of 30 people in a Sukkah or going to the Beis Medrash and staying up all night? What's the point of Leil Hashanah Rabbah? And you have to start first with the name Hoshana Rabbah. What does Hoshana Rabbah come from? There's nothing in the Torah that tells us that Shvi Shel Pesach Chafal Tishrei is anything different from the rest of the days. Hoshana Rabbah is a name given later on. Hoshana Rabbah either is because tomorrow we do a lot of Hoshanos. Hoshana Rabbah means a great amount of Hoshanos. Hoshana Rabbah means that the Rabbah, like Tia Gedola, the Rabbah means also conclusion, the long one, the concluding one. This element of putting a punctuation at the end of Hoshanos. Hoshana Rabbah means it's the last of Hoshanos, and that's why maybe the significance of just ending the week with Hoshana Rabbah. It's the last time that we're able to circle the Sifrei Torah with Adal and Minim, Hoshana Rabbah. Maybe it's because of Hoshanos, that Hoshanos Aravos is the Chavitin of Hoshanos, which itself, hopefully, Rav Uri will talk about a little later on tonight with Divrei Kabbalah, but I'll touch upon it in a few moments before we go into the lengthier part of this year. I mean, maybe that's Hoshana Rabbah, the specific focus on the Hoshanos, on the Ravos. Or very interesting play on words, Hoshana Rabbah is the notion, which we'll talk about in a second, of Hoshana Rabbah being part and parcel of the Gmar Din, of finishing this whole process of judgment. And Nun Aleph, is 51 days since we started this process from Rosh Chodesh Elul. From Rosh Chodesh Elul, we started this whole notion of introspection, self-evaluation, of working on ourselves, cultivating ourselves metaphysically, spiritually, so that we can meet our Creator and work on ourselves, and we can be better individuals and better people and better Jews. And Nun Aleph, is the 51 days, ending tomorrow, of Chaf Aleph Tishrei, of what the process that we've been involved in. Hoshana is, we've been davening for 51 days for Gemar Din, for Shalom, for Briyut, for Simcha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hoshana Rabbah, is the culmination of these 51 days of tefillah. Where do we see any notion that Hoshana Rabbah has anything to do with Gemar Din, or Din itself, besides just having fun with our little Aravos tomorrow? So there's Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah that says, V'osa yom yom yudishun v'o tekiah v'arava. Tries to bridge the tekiah and the arava, and Perushim on this Yerushalmi say, Rosh Hashanah hu tchilas hadin, Hoshana Rabbah gemar hadin. That the Yerushalmi says that basically Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a little few more days after Yom Kippur. That it's not really true that Sifrei Chaim Mavis Menachem Lefanecha, that if you are Beinoni, it's Chasum on Yom Kippur. There are a few more days even, like a last chance.
Love it.
Yeah, love it a little bit. You have a few more days that are connected to Yom Kippur to give you a few more chances. Or maybe it's just to see whether or not we faked it really well. And Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to see whether or not this has been a show, or that we really actually internalized our resolutions and our new outlook in life. But basically this whole concept that Hoshana Rabbah is a sense of Mardin. The Shulchan Aruch picks up upon this. Oh, that's not good. do me a favor. Can you tell the chauffeur to turn off that, the air conditioner on the second floor? Otherwise, we're going to get hot air. Gav, I'll wait for you. Even for Gav. You need it on or not? Fine. Okay. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch actually picks up upon this notion of Mardin for Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, and says Umarim Sas Beneiros Kama B'Yom HaKippurim, that on, it's interesting how he points that's what he takes from this day, that on Hashanah Rabbah you should have lights like Yom Kippur. It doesn't talk about the Tfilah, doesn't talk about other things, doesn't talk about Yom Nerayim or Yom Tov Tfilah, but Umarim Sas Beneiros Kama B'Yom HaKippurim, you should somehow make the day festive with candles, just like Yom Kippur. L'fish Shachag Nidonim Alamayim, because this is when we're judged for water. And we extract from that, maybe that's what Yerushalmi is talking about, the Nidonim Alamayim, if the world is judged on Mayim, on this the end of Sukkot, and we are all sustained, obviously, on water, then this is another Gmar Hadin. This is another Yom Hadin. It's not an extension of Yom Kippur, which is Yerushalmi somehow alluding to, but maybe there's a whole concept as well that there's another Suda Yom Kippur on Hoshanah Rabbah, where we're judged for water, where the world's sustenance is basically being evaluated, and therefore our lives itself are somehow being evaluated. There's a Zohar that's pretty scary. The Zohar says as follows, Im Zachal Asas Tshuva, this is all fine between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur if you're a Zohar to do Tshuva, Aval Odeinu Mishleimus Karo'i, but if you finish Yom Kippur and it wasn't Shalem, it's still a half-baked Tshuva. Tolem lo ad yom ahu acharon, hanikra atzeret. He says, the Zohar says, you're somehow sustained until Shemini Atzeret, but later on he contradicts himself. She yom ha-shemini l'chag ha-sukkos. It's really the eighth day of Chag ha-sukkos. V'yimasa tshuva shleim l'fnei Adono. And if you did real tshuva, fully baked, fully processed, you extended past Yom Kippur and developed and worked on yourselves even more, nikrot ha-igarot, the letters, the din, the judgment that was sealed and signed, were ripped up. Are ripped up. V'im lo zacha. And if you're not zocha until the end of Sukkot to really work on yourselves and do a full tshuva shleima, ha-pitkin yotzeh sadeh samelech. You have to imagine your eyes that outside, out of the castle, all of a sudden messengers are coming out of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's palace with a pitkin b'yadav, with their messages in their hands of chayim u'mavis for you. For basically your new year's fate and destiny. And he says, b'layla achon shelachag. This is a Zohar Kodesh in Parshas Truma, where it doesn't talk about Shemini, but rather on Leil Hoshana Rabbah, tonight, B'layla ha'achon shel achag, yotzin ha'pitkin mebeis ha'melech. Tonight, this last 24 hours, is when the pitkin ha'yotzin mebeis ha'melech, where these notes, these letters, the sealed fate of every Jew, with either the extension of the few days past Yom Kippur to see whether or not the resolution stuck, or were somehow taken and somehow involved in our lives, or that it's whether or not it's a small Yom Kippur katan on the world itself, on its sustenance, and whether or not it's another quasi Gemar Hadin. The focus is phenomenal, because tomorrow, the real major attraction of the din, of Hoshana Rabbah, of the day, is really taking the Aravos. Hoshana Rabbah, and if we're talking about Hoshana, Hoshana is also a name for Aravos. It's fascinating just to spend 2 seconds on just Hoshanos, and I'll leave the rest to Ravuri before we go into the rest of the shiur, which is a little bit more my style. Just bear with me as I encroach on a little bit of Kabbalah. But if you look through many sources on Aravot, the Arava, the Hoshanos, is really the only one of the Minin that has absolutely no intrinsic beauty to it. No intrinsic beauty. It's there to somehow beautify the Mizbeach. In the Gemara Sukkah, Daf Mem Hei, it says, Vayofi Lecha Mizbeach. When the people finished celebrating on Hoshana Rabbah, they would turn and they'll leave the Beis HaMikdash, but they would turn back to the Mizbeach and say, Yofi Lecha Mizbeach. Mizbeach is so beautiful. I wasn't talking about the Mizbeach. They were talking about how it was decorated with the Hoshanas, with the Aravos. The Aravos were never, ever viewed as something that had intrinsic beauty or to draw attention from the other things that it somehow beautified. It was there as a decoration. Right, it went on the Mizbeach, Yofi Lecha Mizbeach, it was there to join the other the three Minim, and it was somehow gave hider to the other three Minim, never drew attention from itself, as itself inherently beautiful. And the Gemara itself in Sukkah discusses, even, it's an unbelievable Havamina, whether or not there is actually even a min of Arava. And maybe the Arava just has to have special qualities of being able to be misari with other things and give beauty to other things. Maybe there's not even a special tree of Arava. That's the Havamina. It's not the Maskana of the Gemara, but just the Havamina is just startling to say that the Arava itself does not have to be a min in itself. It just has to be something that adds and complements other minim as well. The language of an Arava also, just the language of linguistically, an Arava is Tarovet. It's not there standing by itself, but it somehow has its value of being with other elements. It's in a Tarovet that somehow gives it its significance. It is also the min that's called Arve Nachal. Arve Nachal means that it's completely not independent. It's completely dependent on natural sources. It's dependent for its life source. It's drawing its beauty, not giving beauty on its own, complementing and supplementing other beauty that it's around. If you look at it in other places within Tanakh, which I had fun doing, it's always viewed as a transition. Now they're never viewed as a location that has itself intrinsic value. Yeshayahu calls out, Kokari b'midbar ponu derech Hashem b'shar b'arava mesil elokeinu. Right? The arava is viewed as almost as a pathway to get to something. Never viewed as a location that itself has intrinsic value. The arava is there to beautify something else. The arava is there to show that it doesn't have independence. It's not a barrier b'fnei atzma. It's a tarovet. It sucks its nature from nachal, you know, arve nachal. It's there not as its own. I mean, you want to get even super, whatever it is. The Gemara Chagiga talks about the seven Rekiyim. You know, the highest level of the Rekiyah is what? Aravot, Rochev Aravot, and the whole, all the Midrashim, I don't know anything about Kabbalah, talks about that the only way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the closest thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Aravot, is Rochev Aravot, is the person who doesn't feel that he has any independence, doesn't feel that he has any self-worth. There's this notion of complete Bittul Atmo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be close to something. It's complete Anivus. And I find it absolutely remarkable that tomorrow, on Hoshana Rabbah, we end the whole Chag and all the rituals with just standing there with the very thing that should never be there by itself, with the Aravos. You're standing there at the end, which is the thing that has always been viewed as a Tarovas, never viewed as a Hidda B'fnei Atzmo. The Gemara talks about whether or not it's even a Min B'fnei Atzmo. It's always there to beautify Yofi L'cha Mizbeach. No one's saying Yofi L'cha Aravos. It is the symbol of something that is completely dependent upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu, dependent on water, dependent on sources, dependent on other things to give it its value. And we're standing there at the end of Hoshanos, with a Dalet Minim going around seven times, and you're standing there and holding your Hoshanos. And I've always felt when you hold your Hoshanos, it is probably the most naked, honest time that you're with a Kadosh Baruch Hu in these 51 days of Hoshana experience of Gemar Din. You're standing there with something that is an Arvei Nachal, with a complete recognition that it's completely there for the value of what? For the value of its dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you're taking it. And then after you do your tefillah of holding these Aravos, you hit it on the floor. Either what? Either to... I'm not getting into Zivrei Kabbalah or to think of, no one really knows. But either to somehow symbolize that it never has its worth. That even the thing, the moment that that we almost feel guilty by giving almost value to the Arava, which should never have the spotlight on it. We're giving the spotlight to the Arava by itself, which should never be this notion of a dependent min, because it's never viewed as a dependent min. So it even can't even exist. You have it, you have your feeling, you feel completely naked in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then you just, it's over. It's done. Or... this notion that even the sense that you're giving the importance and the dependence by itself, or giving the spotlight on the Arava, and you want to again almost self-efface it or face the Arava in the notion of Choftin ala Karka in a Bizui way, because the Arava is always this message of the Anivas, of the dependence on Kadosh Baruch Hu, and even when you have it alone, it seems a bit awkward to still, you know, to have that moment of dependence, to have that moment of having the Arava in the spotlight and put it aside. So we take it, and even that moment, we degrade that sense without going into any Divrei Kabbalah or Divrei Chachamim or Divrei Nevi'im on the notion of Chavata of Hoshanos. But just to take off from the intro before we do in the Shir itself, the intro is for me, of going to Leil Hoshana Rabbah, is that this is our last chance. We're here, there's so many different minhagim of learning Torah throughout the night. It's not like a quasi-shuist. It's to show that this is really our value system. This is what we've taken out of Yom HaNarayim. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, we faked it really well. You know, we didn't have Pas Akum. We continued with our Slichos. We did all these things. But it lasted even after Yom Kippur. It even lasted after Yom Kippur. And Chaf Aleph, no, we got the Hoshana Rabbah. And we've meant it. And it's part of our lives. It's part of our resolutions. It's part of our future. And we stay up because we're showing that Torah is basically our core value and what makes what's important to us and what gives us our chiyuv. And tomorrow, again, when we take your Hoshanas, you realize again that Hoshana Arvei Nachal doesn't have anything in itself as any intrinsic value, but we stand there with the Hoshanas and we identify with it. We hold that Hoshanas by itself. And take 10 seconds before you even say that tefillah with your Hoshanas and say, this is me. You know, I don't have the intrinsic value to stand alone and say, this is me. I'm here because I exist only to complement everything around me. I'm here, I'm an Arvei Nachal, I get my sustenance from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm nothing without my sustenance, I'm not dependent, I need everything from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And even that small, I'm almost ashamed to spotlight myself even in this tefillah, boom, you know, let's put it aside. And you go back into the Gemar Din, into the Yom HaDin experience. Let's go for the shiur now. I have to talk a little louder. Do you hear me? Should I sit in the middle? You want to sit here? Switch. This is going to be a lot of fun. Hey, son, man. No, I don't need any of that. No, it's fine. Okay, if I would present to you a riddle. How many associations can you make between Sukkot and Chanukah? What would it be? How many would you have? How many would you find? Just be quiet for a second, Hananya. Right? I found in Medrash that somehow was a point of departure for this incredible research study, and I've been having a lot of fun, and we'll try not to broach on apikorsis too much, but there's a medrash that says that a Kaddish Baruch Hu equates the 8 days of Sukkot, which is interesting because we have an 8-day referral, because Shmini Atzeres is somehow referred to as a complement chag, even though it's in itself, but as a complement chag to Sukkot, 8 days of Sukkot to the 8 days of Chanukah. And from that moment that I saw this measure somehow connecting the two, Sukkot and Chanukah, I had a field day and started going through all the different associations between Chanukah and Sukkot. And once I show you that it's not a pure coincidence, but rather something absolutely bizarre is occurring here, we'll try to develop some kind of theme of why. Once we develop the theme of why and the many whys of the connection and association between Chanukah and Sukkot, it will lead us on two mini shiurim. After that, will somehow get us to 11 o'clock tonight. Yeah? I'm a warrior. He's waiting for me. Okay, fine. Okay. So, come on, let's start. I created 4 different groups. The kindergarten group, the high school, the college, and the post-grad. These are the associations that you should be making. Okay. Give me an association between Chanukah and Sukkot. It is. 8 days, thank you. Mazel of kindergarten. Second one. 20 Amos. Okay, you're in your high school. Right, there's a halacha of 20 Amos. 20 Amos by Tzach. 20 Amos by Neres Chanukah. Well, Shalta Be'ena, right? It's going to be puzzle for both. What?
Props.
Okay, so I would mend it to a kindergarten. I would say better to a kindergarten student. I would say props outside of the house, right? These are both customs, both mitzvot that are happening outside of one's house, or should be for the outside of the house. So we have that 8 days. I'm still in kindergarten right now. I have 3 in kindergarten. Stop it. What? Okay, we'll get that. That's already high school. Let's go through kindergarten. You said hollow? You didn't say hollow. Holiday brackets.
The last one and the first one.
Ooh, I like the spiritual gap, but that's not what I was looking for. In Emor, if you look at Emor with the Chagim, what's the last Chagim of the Shalosh Regalim? Sukkot. And right after Sukkot is what? What's the mitzvah right after Sukkot in Emor? Is lighting candles. Lighting the candles in Mikdash. And the Medrash says that what? That this is a remez to Chanukah. And the Medrash continues that somehow we're heightening that their Chanukah is following or juxtaposed to the Sukkah in Emor, which it could have been done with anything else if we're going to do it Derech or Mizah. Well, why do we have Sukkah with Chanukah? But let's still go to kindergarten. Kindergarten, we have the 8 days, Mazel Tov. We have the props outside of the house. And what do? The only 8 days a year that we do something. Shoshana said it. Hallel. Hallel Shalem. It's the only 8 days, 2 times a year that we say Hallel Shalem. It's very cool. No one else gets 8 days of Hallel Shalem. We have all of it. There's only Pesach. It's another $800. Right? So we have Chanukah, and we have Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, sharing Hallel. Next. 20 Amos. We're going now into high school. Next.
There's no God in between us. They're kind of back to back.
Okay, cute. That's a little bit of Morty spiritual gap thing. I want to give him more credit than he deserves. Go on. What? 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 Could we do me a favor? Could we not get into any, like, little heebie-jeebie poetry stuff right now? Don't get me wrong. Just because I did that 15-minute intro with Oshana doesn't mean that I changed my colors. I'm still Josh Fass. Okay, let's go. It's halacha, practical stuff. I want stuff. I want sources. I want... Mizbeach what?
Chanukah was essentially about...
Yeah. Come on. Go on. Fine, I'll give it to you. Number 20. Okay, yeah. What?
Save the nation.
So,
I'm kind of going to get to the Lisa.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get to the Chabarro.
Pesuminisa for who?
For the nation.
Pesuminisa for... Yeah?
No.
Okay.
I have two.
Go for it. Rosie, you're next. You have two.
One is a both unnecessary miracle in
each one of them.
Interesting.
The unnecessary vote is... Okay. You're getting into the intro, Hoshana stuff, so yeah. Never.
And the second one is contrapted, a ten buffet. That in Hanukkah it's below ten buffet.
You say. Yeah, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, what? Okay. We didn't get that. We're still in elementary school.
Okay. I'm glad that's
working. Okay. Stop it. Hit or mitzvah. The concept of hit or mitzvah is found by both Hanukkah and by both Sukkot. Beis Shammai's opinion of lighting candles on Hanukkah. Come on. This is automatic. Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai says what? You start from it, you go down. Why? Pareachag. What is that? Didn't anyone say when Beis Shammai said those words? Oh, Pareachag, we go down. There's no Malin Makodesh by Chanukah. There's Pareachag, we count down. Right? So why didn't anyone in the Beis Midrash say, what? The Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai felt that that was enough validity of Pareachag of Sukkot, starting from 13 down, is enough, it's a sufficient claim to say what? Just to say that that start with 8 days and go down. Because that, yeah, makes sense. Sukkot is basically the backbone of Chanukah. Okay, not because Beis Shammai. Of course not, but Beis Shammai positioned himself. That was his opinion. He got up in the basement and he said, we count from 8 to 1, we light 8 to 1, why Pareachag? And no one laughed at him, because it somehow made sense to associate Sukkot to Hanukkah. Enough for it to make sense for him to somehow base his whole opinion of lighting candles on Pareachag of Sukkot.
There's another Mishnah about Bikurim.
Oh, beautiful, thank you. We're already in college.
Thank
you, Bikurim. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav. Thank you very much. From Sukkot to Chanukah is a time for bringing Bikurim. The Mishnah itself links, as this is somehow, using your fancy words of bracketing, is somehow a bracket. Sukkot and Chanukah is this natural bracket. They go hand in hand for the sense of Bikurim. Okay, let's go back a little bit. If we're talking about Mishnah, who did Mishnayos and Sukkah? Last Perek Hamishi about Simchas Beis HaShoeva. What is essential part of the... Let's say it right. So don't just think quickly. No, I know you're going to say that. No, better. Refine your answer. No, you're bringing something... can I slap you up? You're bringing something to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Before the fire, before the water, before that, You're bringing massive amount of, thank you, oil. Shemen Zayitzach, you're bringing Logif Shemen, you're bringing all this refined oil to, hey, Roy, to Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Next, the whole, all the Rishonim on Gemara Shabbos, Shabbos Kaf Aleph, I'm talking about the Hiddur Mitzvah of Ner, the Kolecha Ve'echa Le'Beiso, Ve'Chanukah, that it's Ner Ishu Beiso, but Mahajan, what do we have? We have each person lighting a candle, 1 to 8. Where is that coming from? The Rishonim on the Daf say, where does that come from? Where does it come from, this notion of Hiddur Mitzvah, of each person in the family lighting his own Chanukah candle? Ulekachem, Lachem, creates Hadar. The only two holidays that we have this concept of Hadar is Sukkot and Chanukah. Hadar Ulekachem, Lachem, this individualized expression of Hiddur. So therefore, Chanukah is expression of Hiddur. Then what? Ulekachem, Lachem. Let's apply that from Esrog to each person in the house. Again, some reasoning that Sukkot is a backbone for the Chanukah halachos. Let's go on. Crazy tour. This is already in college, post-grad. We have 5 in the post-grad level. The tour. You with me? What? Slapping him up good. The tour quotes, you have to work with me. Tour quotes something in the name of his brother, Rav Yehuda. Who knew? Right? And he says that every single holiday is somehow connected to one of the avot. I'm not slipping back into Kabbalah. Right? Avram is Pesach, Yitzchak is Shavuot, and Yaakov is Sukkot. It says it's interesting that Yaakov has a gematria, this is the last time I'm going to say gematria for the evening, of 182. You should just know something, you know, just anecdotally. We used to, in my grandfather's house, Lava Shalom, we used to get the Afikoma for Almani Divrei Torah we gave at the Pesach Seder. Not finding anything like that. But the one rule that he put down at the table, that we're never allowed to use gematria. Gematria was, I'm sorry, no. Gematria was like, was not Torah in his eyes. But Yaakov equals 182. What's 182 according to Rav Yehuda, the Torah's brother? The amount of korbanos that we bring on Sukkot. But the cool thing, this is the introduction, and this is all in number 11 in Hekesh between Sukkot and Chanukah, is there's a Zohar, who knew, in Bereishis, that says, V'Yaakov nasa Sukkosa, v'Yivin lo Bayit. Right? He gets the Sukkot, Sukkosa, v'Yivin lo Bayit. And the Zohar says, there's one word there that's superfluous. It should say, or seemingly superfluous. It should say, V'Yaakov nasa Sukkosa, v'Yivin Bayit. Or Beito. But v'Yivin lo Bayit. So the Zohar says, Lamed Vav Haim, Lamed Vav Nero Shel Chanukah. Why? Because Sukkot, according to the Zohar, has to be connected to Chanukah. Sukkoso, Lamed Vav, it's an automatic connection. Again, another one. The Medrash is a Medrash in Emor, Rafi Libatal, Shmona Shel Yamim Shel Sukkot, you know, Eskelehem Shmona Yamim Shel Chanukah, who knows what that is. The end of Masechet Sukkah, just having fun, I'm just, a few more. The end of Gemara Sukkah. What's the end of Gemara Sukkah? Who finished Gemara Sukkah here? Come on, famous Agadatha. 24 Mishmaros in the Beis HaMikdash, right? When a new Mishmar came, and an old Mishmar left, they would share the Lechem upon it. The new Mishmar would go and eat it in the Safon of the Azara. The old Mishmar would eat it at the Darom of the Azara. And when they were eating it, each of them had their own significant ring where they would lock, you know, you would have those rings on the floor, they would lock the heads of the animal, and they would have their little enclave to somehow eat their stuff in privacy. But the Mishnah, the last Gemara of Sukkah is, what? Bilgal Olam Cholekes Bedarom. Awesome. Crazy talking. Just get in front of that, it's like Da Vinci Code over here, right? Bilgal Olam Cholekes Bedarom. That Bilga, that Mishmar always divided in Darom. It was a busha. And not only that, but they had to share someone else's ring. Their ring was locked in the ground. They couldn't put their animal in the ring. They had to share that to go and say, Mr. Grossberg, can I have your ring today? They had to share another Mishmar's ring. Why? Tanur Rabbanu Maisa B'Miriam Mas Bilga. Because it was a shame. There was a scarlet letter on Bilga's Mishmar. Why? We're ending Gemara Sukkah with what? We're ending that Miriam, Bas Bilga, Hemira Dasa B'Hochum, and Asuka said, don't do that, Chamamachli Yavanim. She married one of the Greeks. During the time, we're ending the Masechet Sukkah with what? With someone marrying one of the Chanukah enemies. And once you shenichnasu yivanim leheichal, and when the Greeks went into Syria, Yehudis went into the Beis Hamikdash leheichal, haitim avetzet v'sandal agabim mizbeach. She would kick sand with a sandal onto the mizbeach. Rama lukas ogazai, you wolf to the mizbeach. How long will you eat and consume the money of Bnei Yisrael? She referred to the mizbeach, since it eats animals, as a wolf that consumes sheep. And because of her marrying, intermarrying someone from the Yevanim and her mitbayesh on the Mizbeach, then the Bilga Mishmar would forever be punished. The Bilga Mishmar would be forever punished, and they would have this busha of always eating bidarom, I mean bidarom, not bitzafon, and always having a locked ring. And it's not coincidence that the entire Masechet Sukkah ends with this notion of the Yevanim story. There's a point while we're ending the Sukkah, Masechet Sukkah, with highlighting Hanukkah and the Yevanim a little bit more. Bir Maestros, which is found, give me a Tanakh over there, sorry. I don't have any more
choice. Okay.
Thank you, financial. Thanks. You're with me now, right? So, at the end of Re'e, Chag HaSukkot Ta'aseh Lecha Shivat Yamim, and then it goes on again. This notion of the Dal and the Ani also joining for Simcha. So there's a Yerushalmi that talks about that every 3 years a person has to do Bir Maestros. We talked about it, I think, did you speak about it? About vidui maestros, beer maestros. That every 3 years, the person has to check, has to do a vidui, has to check whether or not he did all the chumas and maestros and everything. Every 3 years of a cycle, he has to make sure, basically does a vidui, that he did everything fine. He checks, and he makes a declaration that he did it. And it's off of, Gemara takes it from Sukkim on Sukkis, of this almanah, gera, sheba, sherecha, that there's this notion of making sure that everyone's taken care of, and this notion of viduing maestros. There's Yerushalmi that says, when is this viduing maestros, which is found with the psukim of sukkah, supposed to be said? Yerushalmi's first havamina off the bat is Chag Hanukkah. Again, next, the last source is Gemara Shabbos, 3 blot worth, chaf aleph to chaf dalet. 4 blot worth, that talks about what shemen and how one lights for Neros Hanukkah. You with me? And it has 3 different choices. We can compare it to Neros Shabbos, we can compare it to Neros of Amigdash, or we can compare it to Neros of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Oh yeah, it gets crazy. This is the Minchiko. So we can do it by Neros of Shabbos and say Kafz Zakikla Mutil Shtamish Laura, Havamina the Gemara, that Kafz Zakikla, if it goes out, you have to light it again. Shabbos you can't because it's already Shabbos, but that's just a halachic, you know, problem. But it's parallel to Shabbos. And Mutil Shtamish Laura, the whole notion is lighting it, and after you lit it, that's it. You did your malacha, you did it fine, you did your mitzvah. Afterwards, you can be Mishtamish Laura for your own needs. Migdash. The Gemara, you blot it later on. Kafsa Eina Zakakla, maybe you light it. You don't have, if it goes out, you don't have to relight it. And Mutzel L'Shamish Le'Oro. Or the third one is maybe it's like Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the Neirot of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which we'll talk about a little later. Maybe it's Kafsa Eina Zakakla, when you light it, you don't have to relight it. The whole notion is a mitzvah of having their light in the Beis HaShoeva. And V'Asa L'Shamish Le'Oro, there's Gemara in Hosef and Sukkah that says that Simchas Beis HaShoeva, you were not able to, which is a weird thing, Lishamish Ba'ora, whatever that means. You're not allowed, it was up to, what are you talking about? Everyone was using it. So that's what it means. Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it was up to Lishamish Ba'ora, according to Tosfos Menei in Sukkah. The Maskana of the Gemara, if you are Hanukkah, and you're trying to think of how am I supposed to pattern Neiros Chanukah after? Shabbos? Okay, it's found in Masechta Shabbos, maybe. Neiros Migdash? Yes. Right? It's Chanukah. That's the whole miracle. And we're trying to reenact this whole thing, and we're trying to somehow highlight the miracle of Shemen of the Migdash. Or Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which is a Sukkot party time. What's the Maskana of the Gemara? Neiros Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Ner Chanukah is patterned after Neiros Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So to recap the few people who came, there is an oddity. There's a crazy, bizarre association between Neiros Chanukah and Sukkah. 8 days of Sukkah, mentioned many times, to the 8 days of Chanukah, Halal Shalem, outside of the house, the 20 Amos, the Hiddur Mitzvah, Beis Shammai basing his lighting up Pariach Chag HaSukkos, Ner Lekolecha V'Hechad is based on Akachim Chem Priyei Tzadar, the Mishnah Sukkah about bringing oil, of the oil of like Chanukah, oil being to Beis HaShoeva, the Medrash and Emor juxtaposing the lighting of candles to Sukkot is the Chanukah to Sukkot. The Mishnah and Bikurim telling us the bracket of time for bringing Bikurim is between Sukkot and Chanukah. The Tur's brother of Yehuda telling us that Yaakov is 182 in Gematria, associated to Sukkot, amount the Korbanos of Sukkot. Not only that, but Vayavo Sukkot of Yivelo Bayis, the low according to the Zohar, is the Lamed Vav Neiros of Chanukah because it has to be associated to Zukoso. The Medrash of Rasuli Batel Sukkot, I'll give you 8 days of Chanukah. The end of Masechta Sukkot is talking about Miriam Bas Bilga of the end of Masechta Sukkot, finishing off with the story of Yevanim and the disgrace of the Yevanim to the Migdash. Bir Maestro, the Yerushalmi's first instinctive knee-jerk reaction of when is Bir Maestro supposed to be said, which is found in Sukkot. Sukkim, it should be found in Chanukah, of course. What are you talking about? Shouldn't look anyplace else. And lastly, Tzilus Hashvanim for Ner Chanukah is not Migdash, it's not Shabbos, but it's based on Neiros of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. There are a few more, but they're complicated. But I think this is enough to say that it's not a coincidence. There is an obvious association between Chanukah and Sukkot, and the question is why? Why? Why are people going out of their way trying to create an association between Chanukah and Sukkot? Or why is there already an instinctive assumption that Sukkot is the backbone of Chanukah? That when something comes up with Chanukah, we automatically, instinctively look to the reservoir of Sukkot Halachos to somehow build the construct of Chanukah. That's my question. That was my question a few days ago. I'll give you some of the answers that I found, but that's my question. Does anyone want to try? It's some easy one. Someone. Go for it.
Mikdash connection of Hoshana Rabba is all about the different, all the adjectives we use to describe the Hoshanas are all Mikdash terms.
Okay.
So, and then the Chanukah Mikdash of Chanukah is rededicating. We're basically just reinforcing and fixing what could have potentially gone wrong with what.
Okay, you do a lot of what Sifrei Kabbalah do. They focus on the Simchas Beis HaShoeva element, they focus on the Mizbeach element of it. And that's fine, because what are they taking? They're taking the most bizarre association, and that's the Neiros Shmanim Tzilos of Neiros Chanukah, and because that's the most bizarre Hilchati source, and they say it's basing itself on Simchas Beis HaShoeva, so obviously it's something about the Beis HaShoeva, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva experience that somehow is creating the link between Sukkot and Chanukah. That's very esoteric for me,
are all the adjectives that are used in the Hoshanas.
You're giving a lot of significance to the Hoshanas, which is not Sukkot. If you went through Sukkot without Hoshanas, you would still have Sukkot. Okay. Okay. I thought you were going to say completely something different, but that's also good. That's the Rav Schwab that I wanted to end off the whole night with. If just to remember, raise your hand if you're here at 11 o'clock. On the difference on Emunah and Bitachon, and what is a Sukkah? Is a Sukkah a base Bitachon, or a Sukkah is a base Emunah? Which we'll talk about that at the end, which is a nice thing to talk take away with. Something simple. When you were saying the most simplistic approach is what?
I don't know, but I don't know why. I'm not sure why this would be, but maybe it has something to do with like the fact that Sukkot and Hanukkah. I think I don't know the longest stretch of time like in between that we don't really have anything.
Yeah, it's your buddy.
No, it's just on yourself.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, Sukkot is Midoraita, and it's a holiday all about praising Hashem for all the great stuff you did with press and Midbar and stuff.
Is it really?
Well, it's part of it. And then,
okay.
And the Hanukkah happens, and
the I like to be involved in your Sukkot holiday. Yeah, go on.
And then Hanukkah comes, and Hashem does all these great miracles for us again, and we want to find some way to like praise Him for it. So we base it on a holiday that's just like it, which is Sukkot.
Okay, I'm going to work with you. Okay, yeah. You have the most promise. Sorry,
yeah.
Sukkah. Okay, take the whole thing holistically. The Dirat Arai, the Kohelet, the Chag HaAsif. Give me one sentence of what we're trying to achieve in Sukkot.
An appreciation.
Of what?
Of what Hashem did for us.
And not?
And
therefore it's a removal of ourselves from?
Like being too happy.
What? Okay, fine. It's the anti-kochiliosim yadi holiday, right? It is a Chag HaAsif. It's a Simcha because we just harvested everything. We're giving you Kohelet. We're giving you a Dirat Arai. We're taking you out of your comfort so that you don't walk around pounding your chest and say, this is me. This is my Simcha. We're breaking bare basic Simcha of you communing with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's not Kol Kavod Miyazi. It's because of the Anan Kavod. It's because of the Kaddish Baruch Hu support. It's because of our Emunah and Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that's what it was. If you take down in a sentence, a nutshell, of what Hanukkah is about, was, man, our Jewish revolt against what? Assimilation, what do the Yevanim represent?
Physicality.
All of that. It was our rejection of Hellenism, our rejection of Gashmias, our rejection of what fake Simcha is all about. That's the Litvak approach. I mean, that was like before I even started doing research, I was like, okay, right? That's the beta passive response of what's the association between Hanukkah and Sukkot. Sukkot is the rice of creating this notion of not Kochivotim Yadi, is the Dir Asarai, is the Koelis notion, and therefore what we have a rabbinic holiday that mirrors that in a Dereisa of the Dereisa form, and therefore we're going to create some kind of association between the Hanukkah and Sukkot. It's a schwach answer. I'm not saying that's the end of my research, it's the beginning of the research, but it's definitely something to put on paper. Then I started researching and did some fun research. And it's crazy, some of the things that surfaced. Some of them are interesting. I have no idea half of what they say. I'll say them because I want to be intellectually and sexually honest and tell you what I found, but then I'll develop something completely different. But Rav Govich Zatzal, I'll start with my Rosh Hashiva first, he said that the Hanukkah and Sukkot share something differently thematically than other holidays. It's the only holiday, rabbinic and biblical, that basically touches upon ahava versus yira or forced experiences. Hey guys, do we have any more chairs? We have two lounge chairs that we have. One over there.
I'll go get chairs.
Thank you, Fana. There's one over there.
Nice.
Two. We'll get more. So Rav Govich, I don't understand what this means. I really don't. And I love Rav Govich's Torah, but I don't understand it. Basically, that Hanukkah and Sukkah share this commonality of spirit, that they're two chagim that are not done out of yira or forced events. I don't get it. But he was trying, again, when I saw that paragraph, again, not only is another hekesh between Hanukkah and Sukkot, but it was at least an individual who's also trying to find a resolution between the hekesh. And Rav Govich doesn't mention all the links, associations, but he was drawn, obviously, from the literature out there, from all the plethora of sources that are linking the two, that there's an obvious connection between the two of them. Well, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Or a forced event. That's why I don't understand. Or I don't know. That's not my Torah. I'm just telling you that I read it. I don't understand it really. I'm giving down the cup because there's probably much greater wealth and wisdom to that paragraph, but I don't get it. But I'm just putting it out there because if you walk around all of a sudden an hour from, say, all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's an Ava element to Sukkot of Hanukkah, then you're Mechavi to Rav Goldberg, but not me. The Tzfas Emes has an interesting approach. He links, so hold on, he links Hanukkah and Sukkot, and he says that both are Mekadesh, both place, time, and self. Again, something that I don't understand. How is that not achieved by other Chagim as well? That the place, the time, and the self is Mekadesh, and how is Sukkot, a Mekadesh of oneself. So the Tzfas Emes talks about, well, the Dalaminim are representing different organs of one's body. I was lost already at that point. But again, it's a person struggling with trying to find an association between Hanukkah and Sukkot. A lot of Sifrei Kabbalah on Hanukkah and Sukkot combination. Very much what you pointed, touched upon. But it's interesting, because once we establish in the Gemara Shabbos that the Neros Hanukkah are linked to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva Neros, you have to ask yourself one question, and which Rishonim do. Which Neirot did the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? We compare it, hey, he's talking about two different types of Neirot that were happening at Simchas Beis HaShoeva. What were they? What? The Tzadikim? Very good. Excellent. The Mishnah talks about the Tzadikim are doing all this crazy stuff. And the other light, which was this 50 Amot humongous, you know, pyro heaven, you know, vats of oil being burning through the night. Mo, you would love it. Right? Vats of pyromania, right? Monster truck kind of things, right? So we don't know what Neros Hanukkah was referring to, the Tzadikim or the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And Kabbalists talk about, well, that's what we're talking about, that Sukkot has both the Pnimi element of Simcha and the global macro and micro level of Simcha. The Simcha of the person going into his Teshuva came to Duru in his little Sukkah, but it's also the Pariachaz, Hashivim, Umos, the Olam of everyone else, the world also celebrating it, and also maybe Hanukkah as well. Hanukkah has that Ner Yishu Beis they're putting on the table, and also this Pir Simanes on the other side. I don't understand it, but it's founded in people who call themselves Kabbalists, and they try to find the connection between Hanukkah and Sukkot. Or that it's a Gilu Shechina. I read this, I didn't understand what this meant, that everyone believes that the Sukkot itself is another Mikdash, and the Dalaminim is a Korban, and the Dalaminim is bringing the Korban to every single person's house, so is the Hanukkah bringing the Mikdash and the Gilu Shechina to people's house? I don't know what this means. I mean, this is not me, all those who know me, this is not me, that's why I can't even get into it, but there are sources out there, and they try, and they struggle to find an association between Eretz Hanukkah and Sukkot. But there might be a much more simplistic approach. Instead of doing all these mental gymnastics of twisting ourselves into pretzels to try to find what associations we have with Sukkot and Hanukkah, there might be something very, very simplistic, and it's historical. If you read Sefer Chashmonaim, Book 1 and Book 2, Book of Maccabees, oh my God! Right? If you read Book of Maccabees 1 and 2, Book 1 is cool because it gives details of the fight, of the war, of the battle. Book 2 is really, really interesting, even though its authorship is contested and no one knows really who did it, and then there's a whole question of why people didn't canonize it and why people canonized it, and different sects of different religions taking Book 2 of Maccabees as being truthful and other people not, but there's something very fascinating. There's an Igeris from Rabbi Yehuda Maccabee to two letters that they wrote to the Jewish community in Egypt. And it's fantastic, this letter, these two letters. It talks about the pain for 3 years during the battles of winning different locations of Eretz Yisrael and still having the Beis HaMikdash in the hands of the Syrians, of the Yevanim, and missing Sukkot. Out of all the Chagim, it was the most caustic and painful experience for the Maccabees, the Chashmonaim and the Jews, to experience Sukkot outside of the Beis HaMikdash. It was the most depressing experience, having Yevanim in the Beis HaMikdash and having them cowardly hide in caves in the mountains. And the letter that goes out, now, it so happened that the cleansing of the sanctuary took place on the very day on which it had been profaned by the aliens. Not aliens, but aliens, right? On the 25th day of the same month, which is Kislev. And they celebrated it for 8 days with gladness. This is the first Hanukkah, Safei Kislev, first Hanukkah, like a Feast of Tabernacles, like Sukkot. remembering how not long before, during Sukkot, they had been wandering like wild beasts in the mountains and caves, and were unable to celebrate the holiday. In the Igeret itself, they write, "See that you keep the days of Sukkot in the month of Kislev. Whereas we are now about to celebrate the purification of the Mikdash in the month of Kislev on the 5th and 20th day, we deem it our duty to inform you that you may keep the feast like tabernacles." And it continues, "Bring lulavim into the rededicated temple, and we will chant psalms, praise to the Almighty who granted them victory." The first Hanukkah experience, Chof E Kislev, in the Beis HaMikdash was Sukkot. A second Sukkot. Fascinating. Chof E Kislev, we dedicated the Beis HaMikdash. It came in for 8 days. I don't want to get into the apikorsis elements, but because there's no mention of the Nero Shemen in Sefer Maccabees number 2, but the 8 days was a construct of creating a pseudo-Sukkot experience. So Chof E Kislev, the first Hanukkah experience for the Jews after they were Mekadesh Beis HaMikdash, or whatever it is, whatever they did, Chof E Kislev, they brought Lulavim and Etrogim back to the Beis HaMikdash, and for 8 days had a pseudo-Sukkot experience. Not only that, but afterwards, they sent a letter to the Egyptian community and said Chof E Kislev is going to be a Sukkot-like experience. So the remarkable thing here is that either that when they're building Hanukkah, they somehow created it based on the construct of Sukkot itself, to either buttress it and give it some kind of halachic muscle of recreating or reinventing or reintroducing another holiday. So all of a sudden Sukkot was a backbone to this rabbinic holiday of Hanukkah. Or they so longed for the sukkah that they missed, and the sukkah's experience, and it pained them, and it was so caustic in them to have that, and it was so lacking, that the moment that they came back to the Beis HaMikdash, Chof E Kislev, they knew that the first thing that they needed to introduce for the people was a sukkah's experience. So they tried to somehow mesh as much sukkah elements within that 8 days of Chof E Kislev experience during the times of the first Hanukkah experience. And therefore, what we're seeing here are not people trying to bend backwards to find a hekesh between Hanukkah and Sukkot, but we're seeing remnants. We're seeing carbon dating. We're seeing elements of decayed, you know, aspects, residue of the first Hanukkah experience, of the Chag. A lot of the Chag had so much Sukkot experience within it. Therefore, what? So much of the hekeshin that we see, the instinctive knee-jerk reaction of Hanukkah linked to Sukkot, is because the first Sukkot that they had, the first Hanukkah experience that they had, was very much a Sukkot-based holiday. You got it? And therefore, when they're bringing Hanukkah and they're saying, okay, we want to light candles, and what kind of tefillin of shmonim should we bring? What kind of candles should we bring? It's not Nero's Mikdash that it's basically honoring or commemorating. It's not Nero's Shabbos, which is the Masechta that it's found in. It's Simchat Beis HaShoeva, because that's what we're doing here. The first Chanukah experience was a pseudo-Sukkot experience. We love Menasrogim, not Ma'osur. And therefore, all of the construct for the Chanukah experience was based on Sukkot residue. And that's what very much we're experiencing through a lot of the halachic sources of somehow gleaning all of a sudden these associations, because a lot of it was created from the get-go into creating Hanukkah as a Derabbanan holiday. If you stopped here and you walked out, you would think, okay, Josh lost his mind a bit and he's becoming a little bit obnoxious. But I want to tell you that I don't think the Chashmonaim were doing it because they were longing so much for the Sukkah that they missed, or they felt that... Or they needed some kind of muscle, of a backbone, to create this reintroduced holiday of Hanukkah. I think they were somehow got the sense of a prophetic purpose within their actions. There's an unbelievable pasuk in Chagai, in Trei Esrei. You know where I'm going with this? Perek Bet. Chagai, Anshei Knesset HaGdola, living during Paras HaMadai time, living during Daryavesh's life. Daryavesh, many feel that is the product of Esther and Achashverosh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Chagai with an avua. Mamash is there. And says, Bashvi'i, in the seventh month, And that's why I did this here tonight. You'll get it in a second. The seventh month, which is Tishrei. Be'esrim be'echal l'chodesh. On the 21st day, Kaf Aleph Tishrei, which is Hashanah Rabbah. Thank you, Rosie. Hayad v'Hashem b'yad chagai anavi le'mor. This is a prophecy. Ki ko amar Hashem tzvakot od achad ma'ati. There's going to be one more. And it's going to be short-lived. V'ani marish et ha'shamayim v'da'aretz et ha'yam v'et ha'charavah. And I'm going to be there for you, and I'm going to deliver you back, and you're going to be able to go back and reclaim the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi on this pasuk, v'od ha'cha ma'ati. There's going to be one small one more left. What do you mean? Mishtich l'machus paras. When Persia's era, reign, would finish oppressing the Jews, there'll be one more. Don't think that Daryavish and Cyrus will bring back Bayesheni and that'll be over. There'll be one more blip during Bayesheni time. And that's going to be a ma'at, odecha ma'at. A small little oppression. One more attack. And that is, ha'moshel alechem, odecha takum m'shol alechem, ha'tzeh alechem in ha'machut yavan, as Rashi said. It'll be a short-lived revolt. It's going to be Yavan, it's going to be Greek. And I promise you, it's going to be short-lived and you're going to overcome it, and you're going to be able to go back into the Beis HaMikdash. The Chashmonaim, knowing their Navi, somehow, and many did, linked this the date of the Nevuah given to also the victory itself. Why give the date? We don't have dates given of the Nevuah itself. Kolam HaHashem, Hashem tells the Navi the date. What is Bashvi'i Be'etim Echad L'Chodesh? Tishrei, Hoshana Rabbah, you're going to have this Nevuah. It wasn't a date very much of when Chagai got the Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they viewed it as very much intricately connected of the Nevuah was all for the salvation. So all of a sudden the Chashmonaim come along and they have their Hanukkah revolt, Chafei Kislev, Oma Ama'at, they somehow overcame the Yavanim, this last oppressing anti-Jewish, you know, country, and now we have our victory, now we have a celebration, now we have a rededication of our temple. But it has to be linked to what? Which Chag does it have to be linked to? Sukkot! That's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu says. That it's going to happen in Sukkot. Sukkot is when it's going to happen. Sukkot, Hoshanah Rabbah. That, during that time, that's when you're going to somehow overcome this Onecha Ma'at. So they come in Chafei Kislev. They're like, okay. Sukkot! Bring out the love and the slogan. We missed it tremendously. Let's create a mini Sukkot. Not only are they giving the Jewish people what they long for and they miss tremendously, but they want it to somehow be the fulfillers of prophecy. They want to be the ones delivering Chagai's words on a silver platter to the Jewish people. Chagai, Sukkot, you're going to have this delivery, you're going to have this salvation on this Odecha Ma'at. That's it! We did it! We overcame the Odecha Ma'at! Now what do we do? How do we celebrate? Take out this Rogan! Bring it out! Let's have some Ushmizen! And they created the first Chanukah experience as what? As a mini, micro Sukkot experience. Either because they longed for what they lacked, as it says in Sefer Maccabees and Sefer Chashmonaim, that it killed them out of all the Chagim, it was killing their Kishkas that they weren't able to have Sukkot in the Beis HaMikdash. I was trying to understand why, which we'll develop a little bit later, but why would that Chag, out of all the Chagim, kill their Kishkas? What do you think? It's a completion of Yom HaNarayim. And Yom HaNarayim, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, was very much a Kohen Gadol's experience. It was not, Sukkot was very much into it. Or maybe it was Umas HaOlam, and beforehand there were people, there were Umos, the nations were respecting and showing honor to the Beis HaMikdash, and here they're trampling our Beis HaMikdash. I don't know. But for some reason, or the simcha, the lack of simcha, Tzemachu B'chagecha, V'Tzemachu B'nei Hashem Elokecha, this Chag is the Chag of simcha, and look at us, we're carrying in a cave without able to stick our head out into life and shake a little palm tree. And we come back to the Beis HaMikdash and have Sukkot, whatever it was. But it definitely was buttressed and somehow based on this fulfillment of the prophecy of Chagai. They felt that this notion of the Odecha Ma'at, that after Yavanim, it had to be linked with Sukkot. So this micro Sukkot holiday that happened in Chafei Kislev was very much interweaving so much of the Sukkot construct to build the first Chanukah experience. The notion of Hiddur Mitzvah, the notion of Psilus Hashmonim, all these concepts were somehow being instinctively, we're building Chanukah, what Chag do we base it on? We have to base it on Sukkot. either because the Chasam Raim felt that way, either because the Chasam Raim did it that way, or because Chagas Nevuah was somehow prophesizing that this victory celebration would somehow be couched with this notion of Tishrei in the month, in the holiday of Sukkot. But the beautiful thing is not a coincidence whatsoever that we have Chanukah and Sukkot connected. Many individuals somehow create this this association and try to find reasoning between it. Maybe it's just a historical anecdote that somehow created that first celebration of the first Chanukah quasi Sukkot experience that somehow created a template for history that every other Chanukah post that first Chanukah experience was instinctively somehow built and added more flesh and fleshed out this notion that it was a micro Sukkot experience as well. I'm going to catch my breath, but the next two shiurim are going to be based on why. Why do people long for Sukkot? The Simcha aspect, what Rav Mari mentioned, the Shechina aspect of Sukkot, why was that at Vod HaChagim the most caustic chag that Bnei Yisrael couldn't do without? And at the moment that they had the Beis HaMikdash doors open to them, immediately for the people experiencing the Beis HaMikdash, and immediately for the people who were in Egypt even, and around the world, the letter, the Igeres that went out to everyone is, Harabayit B'yadeinu, take out your lulav and esrog, even if it is Kislev. What's so special, what's so unique about Sukkot, that it is the gift that's given to individuals as the first element of regaining the Beis HaMikdash and regaining the experience of a full-fledged Jew and regaining our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. We're going to breathe for a second. Ramo is going to play a song, and we're going to go into two different thematic developments of the uniqueness of Sukkah as our last 24 hours of living in our Sukkah. We understand. Thank you very much. You're specifying it. Mazel tov. We know what our kavanah is supposed to be. Man simchatenu. What does that help us? Simcha. Woohoo. Mazel tov. Well, how, define it for us. Specify to us what simcha is. And that's one question. Why are we not misfiring what the simcha is supposed to be and what we're supposed to achieve as a simcha and chag sukkah? It's the last 24 hours sitting in the sukkah, experiencing sukkah fully. So at least let us understand what man simchatenu is and try to understand somehow the nuances we're supposed to somehow experience over the next 24 hours. Besides that, we also have to struggle with this notion of mitzda'er. Mitzda'er patam and asukah, which is a crazy allowance. We don't have this concept anyplace else. You know, it bothers me, so I don't want to do it. So why is mitzda'er... You talk about this. Let's talk about this. Oh, maybe Shaul did. Well, Mitzda'er Patim and Asukah. Why do we have this concept of Mitzda'er Patim and Asukah? Okay? Roe said something 2 seconds ago. Go for it. A little louder.
So far, okay.
He compares the symphony you feel, and he says it was like the symphony he felt that when someone made the party for the Chanukah device that they make that. And they went through and Kippur and they ate on and Kippur and they were covered because of the symphony was in the chasra and on all of that. And that's the symphony you feel compared with that. It's like the Chanukah.
The Gemara in Pesachim. Am Rav Acha Bar Chanina. Lo kol amazel olam haba. This world's not like the next world. Olam hazeh, abasaris tovo, somer baruch hatova, meitiv, abasaris ra'o, somer baruch dana emes. Olam hazeh, kulo, omer, baruch hatova, meitiv. Okay, we all get it. In this world, bad things we say, baruch dana emes, rechman al-salam, we know. Good things we say, atova, meitiv. So Murray's been doing with all the different additions to the yeshiva. So it's abasaris tovo, hatova, meitiv. It's warranted, and so you should enjoy the mitzvah and enjoy the baruch. Rav Eliyahu Meir Block, who was the pastor of Shiva of Pels, and also it's echoed in Rav Putner's Pacha Yitzchak on one of the essays in Sukkot, talks about that there's one exception. There's one exception of this, an ability to have Kulo HaTov HaMeitiv, and that's the Simcha experience. the Simcha experience of the Samach L'Fnei Hashem Elokecha Elokeichem is that after this notion of going through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and experiencing this whole notion of the Mitzchaper Avanot and connecting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and living through the experience and starting with the Tachtim Lachem B'Yom HaRishon. Medrash says HaRishon is Rishon Yom Rishon Shel Cheshvan Avanot. It's a clean slate to start. It, again, somehow there's love of this 5 days of go ahead and party, but Lukas Nachem Yom Rishon, first day of Sukkot, it starts like it's first day of Cheshvan Avanot. You're a new person. It's beginning. Not only that, you're starting your new life, you're starting your new year on a high, an exalted high that you just came from screaming out the, you know, closest words of Malchus and Zichronot in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, of a Chen Tzadikim Yir V'Yismachu, and all of a sudden you're standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Samach L'Fnei Hashem Elokecha, and you are experiencing life clean on an extreme high after Yom Nirayim. Or Block talks about you standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, listening to Hashem, and it's all Simcha. And the reason, this is Rav Block's whole focus, you don't want to be Mefari to Simcha. Who are you to be Mefari to Simcha? Everything is Simcha. Everything's a Tova HaMitzvah. He said everything about the Sukkot experience is taking things that are okay and making it into this unbelievable Simcha experience. What do we call, you know what the Gemara calls what's kosher for Tzchach? What's kosher for Tzchach? Psolet! This is Psolet! But it's awesome! It's what's making your Sukkot, making it kosher. All your Dalaminim, some of them have smell, some of them are not, some of them are good Jews, some of them aren't good Jews, but everything's awesome. Nisach HaMayim, we say, but Nisach HaMayim, Mayim is Mayim. For what? Nisach HaMayim, it's awesome. Tova Meitiv. Everything is great. Matzim Chaseinu, after living through Yom HaNarayim, and Mechei Tzadikim Yir V'Yismachu, and Smachu L'Fnei Hashem L'Gecha, it's Kulo Simcha. It's Kulo Simcha, and therefore when you're standing in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, there is no Pirata Simcha. That's all nice and jolly. But there's a Maharik that's un-freaking believable. There's a Tshuvas Maharik that says, what's a mitzdar patim in a sukkah? It's not halach l'maisa, but it's unbelievable. The Maharik says it's not a psul in the chefza. We all, halachists, walk around and say, when it's raining, and it's not teshuvah kein tzaduru, because we're mitzdayer, because it smells, and because we got the little lint falling in, and it's raining, then the chefza of sukkah is possible for us to actually be mekayim, a teshuvah kein tzaduru, so therefore it's possible because the chefza is broken, to go into your living room because the sukkah is the same as your living room at that point. But the Maharik says it's not an issue of a psul in the chefza. It's a psul in the gavra. Meaning what? That after you experience a yamim narayim, and after you have been absolved, and you're given a chance kulo full, chock full of experiences of being in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, having all these simple experiences of having all mitzvot, and you're sitting in a sukkah, and you fetch, and you complain, get out of the sukkah. Mitzayir patim in a sukkah means what? You're not experiencing the simcha? Then you have a psul in your head. Meaning what? It's a psul gavra, and therefore you're not experiencing the simcha experience of sukkah. That's what mitzayir patim in a sukkah means. It's not a psul in a gavra. How dare you fish? And even he takes it to the phone. The Tshuvas Maharik says he knows that he's playing with fire here, meaning that what? According to him, that if you're not fetching in a downpour, and you want to, you know, you dance around with a big yarmulke on, you're chayiv to say all the mitzvahs. It's not a bracha levatala. You're chayiv to say, you like the chananya? You're chayiv to say the bracha of leishev v'sukkah. Because it's an attitudinal flaw of mitzvah kapat the mitzvah.
By the way, too, if you're a big fetch, the air conditioning's not right enough, you can leave.
But he's saying, rachmana on you kvetching. Rachmana on you kvetching of, if you're at a point that you're a mitzvah, in this Anane HaKavod, in a post-Yom HaNarayim experience, in a B'Samach L'Fnei HaShem L'Kecha, get out of the sukkah. You don't deserve to be in the sukkah. Don't make a bracha on the sukkah. The bracha is meaningless for you. Not that it's a psul chefza. You're a psul. Your whole attitude is a psul. How dare you fetch? You must start with it. And Rav Kamenetsky, well, go on, what do you think?
The non-Jews didn't get with the whole...
Very good, so say it, because that's the whole shot. You can do it. I can catch my voice. Go.
Right.
Thank you.
couldn't handle it. They wanted, they said, why didn't we get any chance to do mitzvahs to be able to get sukkah? So they, Hashem gives them sukkah, and then the sun comes down, and it's too hot for them to kick the sukkah on the way.
Beautiful.
So,
why? Right? The whole concept is you don't understand what it is. The whole concept is that it's an attitude flaw of the chesed of what it is. You, as a gavra, have the psul. Ah, beautiful! The Maharik is based! What gives the Maharik to say this crazy radical shot? He says himself. Say it. Very good. He's basing it all on the whole discussion whether or not an oval is put them in a sukkah. Why? Because Yasmi Daita, right kids, he has to have Yasmi Daita. He has to have some kind of Nachas Ruach. He has to have some kind of compass that is anchored to be able to enjoy the Simcha experience. It has nothing to do with the Chefza of the Psul Chefza of whether or not you're Mitzayer or whether or not that Chefza of a sukkah is causing a Simcha experience or a caustic experience. It's whether or not you are able to enjoy the Simcha. If you're unable to enjoy the Simcha, and if you have an attitudinal Mitzayer attitude, then get out of the sukkah. Because this is Lifnei Hashem. This is a post-Yom and Arayim experience, exalted high, that you should be experiencing of Simcha without a pirus, because everything is wonderful. Mayim's awesome. Say Shira Mayim. I don't care. Usually we say Yom, but everything's cool. Everything's awesome. Lifnei Hashem. Simcha, both Yom and Arayim. This guy, he doesn't smell good. Who cares? It's awesome. This thing, it's a Russia. Who cares? He's part of the whole family. Everything's a Tova Mayim. I'm so dull meaning. This is what I'm doing poetically. Right? Not Rosie. Rosie smells fine. Beautiful cologne. Closing. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has an unbelievable, off of this Maharik, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has a very beautiful pshat of a Mishnah in Gittin, in Perek Shi. It's a famous Mishnah. You should not know this by heart. You can only divorce your wife, according to Beishame, if you find a Zvar Erva. Meaning if there is a halachic problem of union, you find out all of a sudden she's your sister, then you divorce her. Otherwise, enjoy your wife. Enjoy your relationship. Beisila says, even if she burns your food, come home from a long day of work, the meatballs are overdone. Sit, honey. Shinamar ki matzabai erva stavai. This is all in our premarital conversations, right? Rav Akiva Omer, Rav Akiva is the doozy. Rav Akiva says, afilu matza acheres nahimena. Rachmana, if you find someone who's more beautiful than she is. That's enough reason to divorce her. Honey, guess what? I just met Sprinty today. It's over. So Yaakov Kamenetsky has an unbelievable shock on this Gemara. He said, on this Mishnah, thank you. He says, how can Beis Hillel say, how can you say that to your wife? I found someone nicer. Beisila is even worse. Okay, we can understand, you know, you're a crazy, sick pervert, according to Beisila. Beisila, you burnt the food, you're a sadistic cow. You know, what's wrong with you? Because Kamenetsky says, there is no more chalos nisuin. If that is what bothers you, there's no more marriage. It's time to get divorced. If cooked food is an erva for you, if burnt food is an erva for you, it's over. It's time for gerushin. He plays around with his maharik. If you're kvetching, oh my God, it's a little cold and windy, I think it might rain, get out of the sukkah. You no longer have the approach of simcha anymore. You prayed for your life. You gained your life. You prayed for a relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. You gained a relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. You're sitting the samachta lifnei Hashem elokeichem. Mitzar patim in a sukkah is not a chesed psul. It's an attitudinal flaw. And I found one more source that backs this up. Marik or Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky do not relate to it, but there is a medrash in Parshas Peshalach. Who knew? V'leyachul l'shtot mayim maraki marim heim. What does the medrash say? Mayim metukim. B'nai Yisrael Marim. The water was fine. B'nai Yisrael were problematic. They were the ones who were bitter. The question is, when you're v'samachta l'fnei Hashem, the simcha, the longing of this concept of simcha, of listening Hashem, is a notion that you don't have to be mefarik the simcha. There's a notion of standing in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu and being so enamored by the simcha and the hatova hametiv of life itself. I had a Rebbe, a Lava Shalom of Katz, of Michal Katz, who used to, jokingly, I'm not sure jokingly, he would say, why don't we mevarach a chodesh for Rosh Chodesh Tishrei? There's all these beautiful bekefliyim chageinu, and that's why we don't do it, and it's obvious, and don't need to mevarach a chodesh. He would say, how dare you start saying a tefillah of Chaim Shel, Chaim Shel, Chaim Shel Bracha, Chaim Shel Chilut HaSamot, Chaim Shel Osher V'Chavot. You're praying for Chaim. Chaim! We don't say Mevarach HaMachodesh because our objective is to get through these days. Chaim. You got through Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You know, it's for me it's always scary, you know, let me just drive home from Yom Kippur and park my car. You know, it's like this notion of getting through Yom HaNarayim. Let me get through it safely. And you have a new L'Kat HaLachem B'Yom HaRishon, Yom Echad, Yom Rishon Shel Cheshvon Avanot. It's a clean slate. And you're starting with booster fuel of Yom HaNarayim behind you. And you are listening Hashem. Everything's Hatova HaMeziv, as referred to Rav Lach say. Everything is gorgeous. Everything should be viewed with the sunglasses through a prism of Kulo Simcha, of Kulo appreciation of Lifnei Hashem. And therefore, if you are mitzta'er, get out of the sukkah. If you're mitzta'er, the mayim is metukim, you're the marim. If you're mitzta'er, it's not that this is a chalos of an offense that is divorce worthy. It's because the marriage is over. And they're just punctuated with a gift. So let us, at least the next 24 hours of being able to sit, sleep, learn, enjoy, dancing, whatever, in a sukkah, let us at least try to focus on this notion of the attitudinal approach, not just the chetza beauty of sukkah itself, of manani akavod, which we'll talk about in a second, but just the beauty of our approach to simcha itself, of chayim, of this newly sun life, of the notion of being lifnei Hashem, of what truly matters in life, of surrounding yourselves with really what you only need, even a sink in your sukkah, right? And that's it. And that's with Hashem. And that's why we're not mefarik the detail of simcha, and that's why we have this concept of mitzvah, because as Roi so beautifully said, that sukkah itself is simcha. Once you don't experience the simcha, then it's over. Next. Yeah. Then you go into house. It's not a halacha l'maisa. The marik is not a halacha l'maisa. We paskin, that's a psul in the chefsa, it's not teshu kain to duru. Don't sit in the thing and start crying a little, I really joined this, I really joined. Don't be an idiot, right? If it's raining, you follow halacha. But the maharik is not a halacha, even though he's paskining, he knows this is not halacha l'maisa, but the maharik is a stunning tshuva. Okay? Yeah. They say it? Love it.
They won't sit inside. They won't make kiddush inside. They'll wait until, like, they can go out.
Good.
Like,
who knew?
So they can make kiddush.
No, we go out in the rain.
They won't sit in the airport, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a piece on the Rav on Lulav and Esrog, which I developed once. I think I shared it with maybe you in the past, but I'm not sure you remembered it. But so I'll do it again and just develop another aspect of a thematic structure of Sukkot that we should keep in mind for the next 24 hours as well.
as we enjoy our sukkah for Shvi'i Shel Chag. There is an interesting minhag that's actually the minhag of the Arizal that's found in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that it's the Arizal's minhag, but it's actually the Arizal's minhag. In Tafresh Nimbet, talking about the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, the Mechaber and the Ramah don't touch upon this at all. Mitzvah Lulav, B'yom V'lo B'layilav, B'chola Yom Chash Netilas Lulav. The Ramah mentions, U'medat D'gachos Alulav B'yadir, K'shnechas D'beis L'beis HaKneset. A person should walk with his Lulav. That's based off of a medrash of Bimino, Yimino Netzach, Bimino, Ni'imot Yimino Netzach. Yimino Netzach. Right? You want to show that you're victorious after your Avadin, so you walk around with your Lulav Netzach, right? Right, afterwards. But they don't talk about anything about this minhag. The Mishnah Berurah says, Iksach min ha-Mahadrin, there are some, or Mahadrin, here we go, the phrase again, Nogin avarach ala Lulav v'anitzacham v'toch ha-Sukkah. There's some who, before they go to Shul, go into the Sukkah and they bench Lulav in the Sukkah. Ulana, and they do the na'anuim in the Sukkah, v'achachach v'shas ha-Halim v'animod, and they go back and they do it regularly, and many people have this minhag. This minhag has really caught up. It's not just Iksach min ha-Mahadrin. Many people try to do benching. Even people when they come to shul and yeshiva, you see a bunch going to the sukkah on the side and then coming back and running back for halal after they made their bracha, at least in the initial na'anuim in a sukkah. And the question is why? I was thinking just kind of sophomorically, it's kind of funny. The only other place that we try to surround ourselves with mitzvot, the Stovev, you know, the Stovev kind of mitzvot is Hanukkah, my mezuzah, cute, and that goes back to our first year, but that's another hekesh, but not really. So, why? Why do we do na'anuim? Why do we try to make the bracha of Netilas Lulav in a sukkah? What's the point? And then when you start looking at sukkah itself, and the minhagim and the halachos of sukkah, not just that one, you start seeing something very unique being developed. The Gemara in Sukkah talks about what's kosher for Tzach. So it says, there are ka, kosher, davar shemekabel tumah v'chulei. Right? We know that anything mekabel tumah, not anything she'ena mekabel tumah, so with my garam ve'yekev, is kosher. Manhana mili, how do we know that? How do we know that something which is dulei karka and ena mekabel tumah? So Amar Reish Lakish says what? Amar kra, v'eid ya'alem in ha'aret. And the cloud will come up from the ground. Ma eid davar she'ena mekabel tumah. A cloud that comes, this mist, this cloud that comes from the ground, right, is not mekabel tumah. V'gidulo min ha'aretz, then it's coming from the ground. Av sukkah, davar she'ena mekabel tumah, v'gidulo min ha'aretz. Awesome. Done. Crazy talk. Right? We're saying that what? This is based on so many different assumptions. Assumption number one, that why are we sitting in a sukkah? It's not sukkah's mamish, but rather ananei kavod, right? So Ananei HaKavod is going to be the source for the tzach and surrounding elements of what makes the sukkah kosher. Now, Reish Lakish says, we need to somehow connect something which is dulei min hakarka and not mekabel tumah. So what is going to be the pasuk that I'm going to use that somehow links me to Ananei HaKavod, which is what? That's in mekabel tumah. Oh, we'll go to Gan Eden time. We'll go to the beginning of the world. And there's a pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Gan Eden in Kedem. And what? And the aid Yalim and Arjishka Kopnei Hadama, and Hashem created this cloud that came from the ground and somehow irrigated, you know, and gave water to and nourished all the plants of the world. So what's the Gemara thing? Reish Lakish says, oh, makes sense. Aid is something which is coming from the ground and it's not mekabel tumah. This is a crazy conversation that's going on here. There wasn't, of course, and anything which is dulei min hakarka, it is mekabel tumah. Done. Next, move on. Next halacha. You can't have conversations like this. It doesn't make sense. First of all, if you're going to be somech on a pasuk on Ananei HaKavod, then where should be you taking the pasuk from Ananei HaKavod from? Shemot! The Shalach! Ananei HaKavod pasukim! The Eid Yalim and Aretz? What do people, how do you have a conversation with a Shalach? Okay, sounds good. Let's talk about Hanukkah. How do you have a conversation? Eid Yalim and Aretz. Okay, next. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chaf Bet. Reishit. Perek Bet. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about Noye Sukkah. The minhag of doing Noye Sukkah and that they're muksa Noye Sukkah. What's Noye Sukkah? What does Rashi say? Four words. Peirot Shetolim Balanoi. These are fruits that you hang for enjoyment. So why does Rashi automatically assume that it's peirot? So a bunch of mefarshim, not just one or two, a bunch, say it comes from the pasuk of Vayitzmach Hashem Elokim en Adama, Kol Eitz Nechvan Mar'eh, V'tov L'ma'achal, V'etzachayim V'tov Hagam, V'etzadat Overa. Why does Rashi instinctively think that Noye Sukkah is peirot Shetolim Balanoi? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu did it. When the Kodesh Baruch Hu created his little clouds and his little Gan Eden, he hung. Here's an apple. Ooh, that looks cool. Here's a pineapple. You like that? That the kids are going to love that pineapple. Hang it up with that little Velcro flap. Right? Right? Kodesh Baruch Hu was decorating his Gan Eden. And we showed him and said, yeah, that makes sense. That's cool. Next. Ushpizen. What the heck's Ushpizen all about? What? You know where I'm going. Ushpizin. What's Ushpizin? Orchim panu chadashin Ushpizin, Alain Kadishin, Neshama shibal avos avar mitzag yakov yosem Moshe Aaron David, Medrash Tanchuma. Teda, shekol ha-shem Moshe ayum en adam ha-rishon, kula mevru b'sheshim ebreshis, and where are they now? Where are all these Ushpizin that we're inviting? Kula megan Eden. Kula megan Eden. Next. Gemara and Daf Chav Ched and Sukkah. Tana Rabbanan, Kol Shivas Hayamim Adam Osa Sukkah So Keva Ubeito Arai. Flip it. Make your house the Arai, your home Dira Keva. Kikad! How do you do this? How you lokalim na'im, you have nice kalim dishes, you bring them outside, nice beds, ma'alim l'sukkah, matzo'u na'ot, nice mattresses, ma'alim l'sukkah, ochel, v'shoteh, u'mitayel b'sukkah. Kids, guess where we're going today? We're going to the sukkah. Bring your canteens. What's mitayel b'sukkah? What's that phrase, mitayel b'sukkah? I mean, this sukkah, you skip around a little bit when all these chairs at it. What's mitayel b'sukkah?
I saw pictures of your Vitamansky fast trip where you put open the doors and put the stuff on top.
See, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Mitayel b'sukkah. Very nice. So the Yalkut Shimoni. Says that the phrase Mitayel comes from where? If you're getting the theme that I'm creating here, you should say Gan Eden. Meriam Melamishiru Gan Eden Mitzadikim Mitayelim Bo. Mechain David Omer Es Alech Lef Me'ashem Baratzota Chayim Zu Gan Eden Kivyachol Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mitayel Imachem Shenemar V'Talachti V'Tolchem. When you see the word Mitayel, it's a phrase with a navi that should all of them bam 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 Gan Eden. The Yalkut Shimoni says. Pre-eight hadar. Kapot marim, manaf esavot, avei nachal. Keneged arba neharot, shiot in. Megan Eden. Ve'elim avakshim rachamim, shiot rabu mei mehem. What's going on here? The Shulchan Aruch says, the tzarech l'schaber ha'esar gulov v'shafnanu. Right? You take the esrog, you have to put it with a lulav and esrog. We did this last year and every year, I think, when we do dreams, the significance of dreams. And I've always quoted this Rav Yosef Karo, this Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef Kaskin once on dreams. Beis Yosef had a dream. Remember? Someone? The Beis Yosef, before he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, you have to put the igud of esrog with the other three minim. There's no source for it ever of making an igud of the arba minim. The dasim and aravos and lulav have to be igud echad. The esrog doesn't. For Yosef Karo Paskin in Tafresh Nun Aleph that there has to have an esrog touching it. Why? Remember the dream that he had? What's the dream that he had with the in?
Right, Shem Hashem, exactly. There was someone writing Yud-Kei-Vav and a hay on this side, and he was screaming at the person to put the hay, what are you doing? And he wakes up and he sees the same person in shul going like this with his esrog and a little bit of adasiv. And he's like, oh my God, that's a dream, put it together. It's straight off to Mishnah and Olive. It's Rabbi Yosef Karo paskening on a dream, and the whole question is, how can he malam v'lo morgim, right? How can he pasken on a dream? The Rav has an outstanding shot on what the point of igud is. There's the Medrash Rabbah tells us we all view the chait of Adam and Chava as being an apple tree. Sorry to burst your bubble, but there were no apples in the Middle East. Mahayaus and even Shacham Meno Adam and Chava. The Medrash Rabbah says Rabbi Abba Dako Amar Esrog Haya. It was an esrog. The Eitz HaDaat that Adam and Chava were not allowed to eat from was an esrog. And therefore, what are we doing after Yamim Noraim? As the Rav said, the Igud is taking the Esrog and putting it back on the tree. The Igud is the culmination of our tshuva and saying we're going all the way back, not only for our Avonot and our Avonot of previous generations, but we're going to the first Avon of Chet Adam Echava, and we're taking the Esrog and putting it back as the Medrash Rabbah, back on the tree. And if you take all these other sources of Mitzayel, of Ushpizin, of Noye Sukkah, of Edya Alemina Aret, right? Then it makes perfect sense that if you're going to do an Igud of the Esrog back on the 8th, that the setting should be the full setting. Go into your Gan Eden. Go into the Sukkah, which is the Ananei HaKavod, Edya Alemina Aret, Noye Sukkah, Vodah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mintayel, Ushpizin, the whole works. You're recreating a Gan Eden experience with Pnei Hashem of Ananei HaKavod, a real Ananei HaKavod, a real Gan Eden Mikadem experience. So if you're going to symbolize your tshuva process, or the tshuva process of mankind and the Jewish people, after Yom HaNarayim, especially Lel Hashanah Rabbah, and you're going to put your Esrog back on the tree, where else should you put it? And the Arizal said, you put it in your sukkah, because that's where it belongs. If the tshuva process is going to be dramatically somehow recommemorated, then do it fully, with a whole backdrop and whole props, and put the esrog back on the lulav, back on the tree, within the sukkah itself. Simo, it works very nicely with the sources. It somehow hits home tremendously, and I hope tomorrow morning, Lel Hashanah Rabbah, on Hashanah Rabbah, Chafal Tishrei, you go into the sukkah and do the little Arizal, chew on it, which is nice for the whole tshuva process. But it also highlights something that I've said to many of you in the past, and I think someone said over Sukkot to me, and I was very disappointed that this is what you took from it. And someone said, you burst our bubble with Hashivinu Hashem Alecha v'nashuva chadei shemeinu pikadam. Was that you, Hananya?
No.
No, maybe it was Dizet or someone who depressed me by saying it? But Dizet wasn't here? Oh, it wasn't here. I'll rank on Dizet, it's okay. So, so the end of Eicha ends off with Hashivinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva chadei shemeinu kekedem. Hashivinu Hashem, right? V'nashuva chadei shemeinu kekedem. Now, Hashivinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva chadei shemeinu kekedem means bring us back to Yor, bring us back to Kedem. Hashivinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva Hashem, allow us to return to you. We'll return. We'll go back to Gan Eden time. We'll go back to Gan Eden mekedem. And the amazing thing is there are two different psukim in Bereishis that have kedem to it. Rosie will look with me to make sure that I'm not making it up. In Perek Bet, it says, Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Eden Mikedem. Hashem created Gan Eden Mikedem. He b'yasim sham et ha'adam ha'she yatsar. He put man in there, and he put all the nice little decorations, kol eitz nechman l'mareh, all the pineapple and little corn for the Indians, who somehow think the sukkah is Thanksgiving. You know what I'm talking about? Never had corn hanging from your sukkah? Right, all of a sudden it's like Thanksgiving, all of a sudden the sukkah is like, you could do a whole shiur on associations of Thanksgiving with sukkah. I'm sure you can find 18 makoros in that one, right? So we have, Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Eden Mikedem. You don't know what we're talking about, right? We're going to have corn? That's okay, fine. Next, right? And then there's the next pasuk. Here. And in Perek Gimel, shah, be quiet. In Perek Gimel, when Adam and Chava, after the sin, after Eitz HaDaat, after they ate whatever they ate, chita or the etrog, whatever it's called, it says, Vayishachayu Hashem Elokim Megan Eden, right, La'avodat Adam Shadukach Misham, and all of a sudden, Vayashkei Mikedem Megan Eden, Metzakuv, Me'lahara, Chareva, Metzavechet, and they had angels going like this, ninja turtles, you know, in front of Gan Eden, with fire.
Simchas Beis Shueva, another cool thematic structure, right? Right, going in front, Simchas Beis Shueva, bar action, that they couldn't come back into Gan Eden, right? So the question is, when we're saying Hashiveinu Hashem Malachav and Hashuva Chadesh Yemeinu Kekedem, which one are we referring to? Is Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Eden Mekedem in Perek Bet, pre-chet? Or, Vayishachayu Hashem Elokim Gan Eden Vayigaresh Adam Hashem Mekedem Gan Eden as a Kruvim in Perek Gimel? Obviously, we would all instinctively, intuitively feel that it's Perek Bet. Hashiveinu Hashem Malachav and Hashuva Chadesh Yemeinu Kekedem, bring us back to before the chet, because otherwise we time travel to a really stupid point in history, right? But that's not what the Medrash says. Medrash Rabbah in Eicha, Hashiveinu Hashem Malachav and Hashuva Chadesh Yemeinu Kekedem Ka'adam HaRishon. That's what we're praying, Hashem. Hashem, please let us to tshuva, mischapa our sins, bring us back to where? To a clean slate, to Adam HaRishon. Of what pasuk that is Gan Eden Mekedem, Vayigareshus Adam, Vayashkei Mekedem Gan Eden. Perek Gimel Gan Eden Mekedem. Not Perek Beth. Why? Because we're not Malachim. We can't live in a Perek Beth kind of world. But we want to be sensitized human beings that when you bring us back to the moment after chet. And we'll prove ourselves the moment after chet. The moment after chet, we will show you that we're embarrassed by it, that we want to rectify it, that we want to make amends with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashiveinu Hashem Malachav and Hashuva Chadesh Yemeinu Kekedem cannot be that we're better than Adam HaRishon and bring us back to Perek Bet. Medrash Rabbah is saying, bring us back mamash to the Nekudah post-chet. And we can rectify, which is outstanding. You would think, bring us back pre-chet because we can do better, and we'll make sure that we never have that alternate path. No, that's the path of Adam. The path of Adam is going to falter. We're human beings. But bring us back mamash miyad achar chet. Hashiveinu Hashem Elokav and Hashuva Chadesh Yemeinu Kekedem. Bring us back right then. Let us put the etzer back on the tree. Let us do the tshuva. It's Leil Hashanah Rabbah. I'm sure from Yom Kippur to Leil Hashanah Rabbah, from Chafei Tishrei, we somehow lapsed into some of the things that we did the Al-Khayt for, and the Ashamna Baganya. We are frail human beings. We are human beings. And I think we even realize even more in this din, in this Gemar HaDin of Hashanah Rabbah, how frail we are. In the heights of heights, when we're storming the heavens and we're davening in the Elin, Kol Nidre, and Hashem Nebaganu, we are completely confident that we're not going to falter in certain things. And then we see we do again. And I think Hashiveinu Hashem Malachav and Hashuva Chadesh Yemeinu Kekedem is not burst my bubble. Oh my God, it's so depressing when I see my friends. I don't even do this anymore, Rabbi. Right? No! It's an honest approach to us when it comes to Gemar Din. And especially Leil Hashanah Rabbah, Hashiveinu Hashem Malachav and Hashuva Chadesh Yemeinu Kekedem. We're going to make mistakes, but we want to always be sensitive and be sensitized to our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu that motivates us to somehow appreciate you, and our relationship that makes us immediately try to rectify it and hopefully never do it again. That's what Hashanah Rabbah is. Hashanah Rabbah is maybe a mini Yom Kippur. Maybe a Yom Kippur on Mayim, maybe it's a lovelet extension of Yom Kippur, but maybe it's really the most honest, real look, post-Kitzel time, post-Yamim Narayim, where we see ourselves a week and a half after Yom Kippur and see, this is the best that I have. Maybe it's not best enough. And we stand there with our Hashanahs alone after we put down all the accessories of Yamim Narayim. We're standing there with something which is an accessory, it's a condiment of Shanos. It's an Arvei Nachal. It gets the sustenance from only a Kaddish Baruch and from Mayim. And we stand there naked in front of a Kaddish Baruch and say, this is what's left of us. And we commit ourselves to doing better, commit ourselves striving to be better, to obviously enjoy the Gan Eden experiences that a Kaddish Baruch gives to us so we can commune with a Kaddish Baruch, feel his intensity, feel his Shechina, so it can act as a reservoir to propel us to move forward. And allow us to, when we do rendezvous with a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and recognize the gifts that a Kaddish Baruch Hu gives us constantly in our lives, to appreciate what true simcha is, to appreciate what lifnei Hashem is, and amida lifnei Hashem is. So chas v'shalom, we are marim, but that we see everything around us as atova hametiv. I forgot to mention a beautiful Radvaz before I got into the Maharik, but I'll do it right now, in this summation. Someone asked the Radvaz that he wants to teach his son a lesson of atova hametiv. And he wants to instruct in his Savah to his son, the Radvaz, chief rabbi of Egypt in the 1400s. He said he wants to instruct his son that when he dies, to not say the bracha of Dayana Emes, but Atova Meitiv. And the Radvaz says, Iefsha. Iefsha. And he talks about, and he says that even though you might cognitively feel Baruch Dayana Emes, which whatever he says, it's impossible to cognitively you might feel Atova Meitiv, it's impossible emotionally to feel Atova Meitiv. I think the bracha from the Advaz is that we should all view, hopefully emotionally and cognitively, all the Hatova Meitiv that we have in our lives that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. The simcha and the gift of sukkah is that it breaks everything down to the basic goods and the basic Hatova Meitiv in our lives. It makes it so easy for us to see what is true happiness and what true simcha is. Sitting, sleeping in a sukkah with some Torah, with a few little things that you have, and your family and friends around you, with a Torah on the table. It's really what is the ikara of a life of a person. And may we continue to somehow share smachot, to share many Leil HaShanah Rabbah together. Gan Eden Mikedem, Prichet, Postchet, Hashiveinu Hashem Alecha V'Nashuva, Chazei Shiveinu Mikedem. Enjoy tomorrow, enjoy the next 24 hours of sitting in your Gan Eden with your korban of dalamina, if you want to take it that way, or your arve nachal in a tnius way. And may the gemar din for everyone be a gemar din of shalom, of briyot, of simcha, of shalom, of happy chasanos coming up around the corner, and shemi malek hol mishalot yitzchon atovah.
Anyone here?